Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Timotheus, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
How are you?
I am well, and you?
Well, as we were just saying a moment ago off the air, we're just sad today.
Very heavy-hearted.
Yeah, and, I thought maybe we'd talk some about yesterday in terms of Valentine's Day and some other things that came up, but I don't really want to talk about those things today. Now, if someone called and they wanted to ask a question about it, we'd try to
accommodate them.
As Bill Monroe would say, we try to hip them.
Hip them.
But we're sad because of the shooting, of course. The shootings, they just keep rolling on, it seems, don't they?
Just keep on keeping on. As I said before we went on the air, what a difference a week makes, not only for the folks in Florida, but here in Johnson County,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Just very, very sad. As a matter of fact, some of the funerals are getting ready to start, and we're praying for those families.
Amen.
And the young boy that the son and the grandson, I had him on my mind today.
Yeah.
What a loss. I think he's 19 years old maybe or something, somebody told me. I don't know that for sure.
But, I don't know either.
But what a horrific time he has to be going through.
Yeah.
You know, lost his dad and his grandparents.
You know, the talk, everybody's talking on the news, radio, TV, whether it's a talk show or whether it's a news program,
mm-hmm,
or some of these other programs that are on, or business programs. We're all talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
We're all talking about how can we prevent these kinds of things, and there is no easy answer. Everything that you do is going to be met with displeasure on someone's part.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some, I would think, some basic things that we ought to consider. You know, Jesus talked about the importance of being able to protect your home.
Mm-hmm.
And he said if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Now, you know, hesitate to say we're good, but in that parable, we're the good man of the house.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to do the best we can. We're trying to live our life.
We as the church.
We as the church, sure. Yeah. We're trying to live right. And a lot of people who aren't Christians are trying their best. They go to work every day. They come home. They don't beat their wife. They don't cheat on their taxes. They're good, moral people.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not be Christian people.
Yeah.
But
just good moral people.
Yeah, we're trying to do our best, and Jesus said if that person, the good man of the house, had known what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched. How can we do as a society now? How can we do a better job of watching? I know in my home and any other person's home, they're not going to let their house be broken into.
Not knowingly.
No, they're going to lock their doors, and most everybody's got an alarm system these days, and most would-be thieves, they all know about those things, and we keep lights on. We try to have the outside of our home lit well, you know, and all those kinds of things, cameras and everything. So how can we in society do a better job? Maybe someone has a thought. They could give us a call.
That's 789-0318, 789-0318. Or if it's more convenient for you to email us, you can do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Again, that's godspointofview@yahoo.com.
I've mentioned I've mentioned it over these years, and by the way, I think is it the 1st of April or the middle of March? I can't remember. Will be our 5th anniversary to mow this.
Yep.
5 years.
5 years. We've got two phone lines going on here.
And we've mentioned before that if someone wants to text, they can text it. 606-367-0137. As a matter of fact, I got a text this morning, a question for the program, but we do have two phone calls.
Well, we've got one now,
got
so
one.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I wanted to make a comment and maybe ask the question. This is in regards to the situation in Florida. In the news, they said that this young man's stepmother had died. And he was, at school, he was bullied a lot also. And I'm just wondering, what could have been done to have, directed this fellow in the right way, in the right path. And I think that the students themselves and the teachers, if they knew of this, which apparently some of them did, if they knew how this fellow was, there should have been some social workers and teachers involved in directing this fellow in the right path, and I think that the churches may have failed also in not getting involved, you know, in welcoming this guy and try to, you know, get him into the Word so he would live a useful life and not and maybe that would have prevented the crimes that he had committed the other day. So I just would just throwing that out to you all and to the audience.
We appreciate that. Did you have a question too, brother?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what could the churches have done, because obviously there's separation of church and state. This is a public school, but I just don't know there should probably were students at that high school who go to church also, and I would think that they maybe if they had talked to their pastor and said, listen, we have this wayward fellow, is there a program we can get this fellow involved in at our church? And I'm just wondering if, you know, here in Paintsville, if, you know, if the churches could maybe should they encourage their young congregants to be proactive when they see some wayward student who, you know, who's falling off the road.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you a Christian man?
I'm a strong believer in God. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. I understand. Thank you for answering that for me.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
Hey, you as well.
Thank you.
Well, the caller is feeling the same frustration that we feel, that every one of us feels. And let's just be honest. We all fail. Mm-hmm. We all fall short.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches that's a reality. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul wrote to the Romans. And so I recognize my shortcomings. I have many of them. There's always, in hindsight, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. That's true in a lot of instances, but I think also it's not true because we have a tendency to glorify the past and not remember all the negatives or not remember all the times we failed. We want to look at everything through, what was the old song years ago, Timotheus, rose-colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So the caller is touching on something that all of us need to think about. And the principles that he stated there certainly are Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
We need, as churches, as just individuals to be looking for people who need help. I'll tell you what, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think maybe I should now in light of the question. We assembled last night as we do every Wednesday night, and I was going to speak on an Old Testament theme centered around the prophet Elijah. And I was going to make the observation based on his life and all the victories he had, yet all the successes he had did not keep him from having bad days. And so I entitled my message, Bad Days Are Coming. And then after the shooting, the killing of those 17 students and wounding of 12 or 14.
Yeah, I think in that 17 there were some teachers involved with that, I believe, as
well. Were there some teachers? I know there was one coach. Yeah. I heard that this morning. Mm-hmm. Until this morning, I wasn't aware there were any teachers.
That was one of the reports that I heard this morning, but...
Anyway,
17 lives were
football
lost.
Football coach, I believe, took the bullet.
Yeah.
God bless him. I just didn't have the heart to mow this.
Yeah.
To talk about bad days are coming because bad days were here.
Yeah.
And so have done in the past, we just got the adult class together, and we made a circle, and we prayed. Everybody that wanted to pray could pray, and we had great participation. One of the prayers touched on the caller's point. And one of the prayers uttered was, if there's someone, some young person now here in Johnson County who is feeling similar to this young man in Florida and is thinking of hurting someone, doing something they shouldn't do, she said, Lord, direct him to Highland. Bring him here. And I thought that was a wonderful sentiment.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we've tried for years to do that, to bring people to Highland, whether they're well-adjusted or ill-adjusted. We want to help people, and we have several programs to facilitate that. I think we lost the caller. Please call back. We have a very active youth group. We have a very active jail ministry. We have programs that can help people with addictions of all kinds. We've got the call now, Timotheus.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. And
good morning.
A comment.
Good morning.
I was just going to have a comment there. Sometimes it comes to the point that we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing at home to teach our kids? If we don't teach them the right way, teach them God's way, the world's going to suck them in. I mean, and before you know it, you know, all these evil thoughts are going through their heads. And as a world and as a worldview and hope, a lot of times, I guess we don't call out to God until something bad has really happened. When we should cast our cares upon him every day.
Amen.
But that's really all I had.
That's a lot, brother.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Because most everything starts at home.
Exactly.
You know, the Catholic Church years ago made an observation that I agree with wholeheartedly. They used to say, I don't know if they still teach it or not, but they used to say, give us your child for the first 7 years. We'll have him for the next 70. I think that could be said of a lot of churches. I think that could be said in many scenarios. The point is, and that wasn't necessarily teaching. We want you to bring your kid here. We're the only church. That wasn't what they were saying. What they were saying was those formative years.
Yeah.
Are you still with us, brother?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? Those formative years.
Right.
You've got to, it's like me putting on a sweater. I put a sweater on the other day and wasn't paying attention, started buttoning it up. When I got to the top, I was out of sync. I started with the wrong button at the bottom. And so I was, my sweater was all messed up, so I had to start over. That's a simple elementary principle. But I'm a kind of a simple guy, so I have to look at things from a simple viewpoint, I suppose.
Exactly.
But if the home is not right, and this boy in Florida, I think, had a troubled existence. And as the first caller noted, wouldn't it have been wonderful? As a matter of fact, I saw on one of the news reports one young man saying, we all knew this was going to happen. Did you see that report?
Yeah.
I don't know, he's a young boy, 14 or 15. He said, one of these days, he's going to come in here and shoot us. So they knew he was different. First caller this morning mentioned about reaching out to people. I think that is so valuable. Now I know I'm a realist. I'm neither a optimist nor a pessimist. I'm a realist. And having worked in the jails for 15 years with people, I know that, you know, you're not going to win a lot of them.
That's right.
But you can change some. So
yeah.
I guess we don't have the privilege of receiving people when we open our church doors, you know. As you well know, you open your church door and a little bit of everything walks in. We have to be there ready to be compassionate and to serve people. But if we have someone that's had a bad home life and they've been neglected, apparently like this fellow was yesterday, he didn't grow up with the best of instruction maybe.
Right.
Felt bullied, felt this, felt that. You got your hands full.
You know, as Christians too, we need to tell others about Christ, not just on Sundays, but 7 days a week.
I couldn't agree more.
And
couldn't agree more.
Well, that's where we fail a lot sometimes as Christians, you know.
We do. And we're all failures in some way. And
but thank you all for what you do. And
bless your heart, brother.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
You as well. Thanks for calling.
And I agree with everything that has been said.
I do too.
But what's on my heart and mind is the churches do need to reach out. That's what churches are for.
Yes.
But at the same token, it's hard to reach out when you're not wanted.
Yeah.
Our society, it started years ago. I think the first caller mentioned the separation of church and state and those type things. You know, a year or so ago, had a Charlie Brown play at one of the elementary schools. They was going to mention a Bible verse.
Yeah.
And there was a big uproar about it.
Yeah.
Big to-do made about it.
Yeah.
Somebody, because of a Bible verse, was going to be made out of it. How do you intervene when you've been told you're not allowed to be here? And then, when these things happen, the same people want to turn around and saying, something's wrong. So the church is fighting not only to try to help those that are troubled, but they're fighting people that are against them to help those that are in trouble. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are, and she always has fault.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, those that you would think would be on the church's side, she had to fight.
Yeah.
The Apostle, and those that you knew were not on her side, she had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul outlined what he had gone through, sufferings for Christ, in the Second Corinthian letter. And one of the things he said was, fightings without and fightings within, and he went on to say, and perils among false brethren,
mm-hmm.
people that's supposed to be on your side.
Yeah.
And so the church has always had to fight, and I would only say this about the brother that called. You asked him if he was a Christian. He was a believer in God, and that's a great start right there, let me tell you.
Amen.
But I would take issue with the church and state. There is no, in our Constitution, there is no separation of church and state other than the government is to stay out of the church's business. But the church ought not to stay out of the government's business. Now, I'm trying to answer your observation or your question.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be active, proactive in the schools and everywhere, because our commission is to take the gospel, to preach the gospel to the world, make disciples and baptize them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. We're to take the gospel to those places that don't want to hear it. We're to knock down the gates of hell.
Yeah.
And so churches need to have an active program of doing that.
And you have to be bold.
You do.
And you have to have a spine.
You do. You do. And we learned just recently that one of our school systems still says the pledge to the flag, and they still pray before ball games, and another school system doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are they afraid somebody's going to quarrel at them, or somebody's going to file a lawsuit? I suppose so. Many of these lawsuits have been filed. You know, we had a new friend of ours, Richard Nelson, with us back some time ago over at the church, and he's with the Commonwealth Policy Center. And Timotheus, you referenced the Christmas play, and he was one of the first persons I called and mm-hmm. asked, what about this? And he said they absolutely can't stop that, but apparently the school system decided they didn't want to have to deal with it, and I think they made a mistake. Anyway, but I've been assured that that mistake won't happen again, that they have they've learned from that, and we do learn, hopefully, from our mistakes. 789-0318 or God's Point of View at yahoo.com. You could text as well if you'd like, 367-0137.
I do want to make another point if I can.
Sure.
You mentioned a while ago, and I agree wholeheartedly, that when you open the doors of the church, a little bit of everything comes in. And we are to have compassion. We're to love people. I've seen some different posts on Facebook about those type of things, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Right.
But at what point, Jerry, do you say, we've got to fight evil? I don't know if I'm making sense here, but if somebody comes into the church, we're to do everything we can to help them, to love them, to bring them into the family. But if somebody comes in to do harm, and that happened a few years ago in South Carolina, a gentleman came into the church and sat through the whole class, and at the end of the class, he started shooting people. At what point do we have discernment to say, we're going to love people, try to help people, be compassionate with people, but at the same token, this is not going to happen. We have to defend ourselves. Where do you draw the line
with a Christian? Go back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah asked the old king if he could go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall, he was given permission. And he thought, well, that worked out pretty well, so now I'll ask for supplies. And so he got supplies. Then he just, everything he asked for, he got it. And so he was proactive. As they built the wall, they had enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem were three individuals that aggravated the life out of them. And Nehemiah just said, now, you know, we're doing a good work here, and we're not going to stop and talk with you, let you waste our time. I like that about Nehemiah. He was plain spoken. But it went further. They, for fear that they would be attacked, worked on the wall with their trowel in one hand and their sword in the other hand. Now, Jesus said in the New Testament then,
mm-hmm.
He said, do any of you have a sword? And they said, no, we don't have a sword. He said, sell your coat and buy one. In other words, I'm going to send you now out into a world you've never known. And we live, by the way, brother, in a world we've never known.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, I want you to be able to protect yourself. That's the whole lesson there, really.
Mm-hmm.
Most churches still don't get it when it comes to security. I have been on the phone even this morning with the police chief,
mm-hmm.
Mike Rowe, who, by the way, is a Carter County, Kentucky boy. And I was talking with Mike about police presence
mm-hmm.
at our food basket on Tuesdays. We've never had any major problems there. But I want to be proactive.
Yeah.
I don't want to come back later and say, wish I had done this or wish I had done that.
Is this part of you being the good man?
Well, I'll let you decide that. And so, in the year 2000, actually 1999, I had seen a report on the news about a fellow who walked into a church and killed his wife and several of his children.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to stop him, and I made a vow to God at that time that I would never just stand by, and I'm not blaming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we always have to say that, but I'm not. I made a vow to God I would not stand by and let that happen. They watched him walk in, load his revolver. You know, you can do a whole lot to a fella in that length of time.
Well, yeah.
Nobody did anything, scared to death. And I'm not faulting the people in the pew. I'm just saying somebody needs to do something. And we began a security team of, at that time, one. And then it grew.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 2018, we've got several men on our security team. We're always watching. We've implemented security procedures. Going to have a meeting, another meeting Sunday. It means continually reviewing what you're doing and updating and upgrading. We've had people come in, experts come in, and hold seminars. And I'm not trying to be mean, my fellow pastors. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just telling the truth. We sent out letters, I think, to 18 or 20 churches.
Mm-hmm.
Not one came. Not one. That was at a time, however, when a lot of churches weren't accustomed to that. But here's the problem. A lot of them still aren't.
Yeah. Now, it's becoming more and more part of our everyday life.
Sure,
now.
We're hearing it really is.
And yeah.
Last Unity conference we had three or four church mm-hmm. leaders
yep.
want to talk more about it because we're becoming more aware. Right here in eastern Kentucky, a little Paintsville, Kentucky, Johnson County, Kentucky, we think we're protected in some way, but we're not, folks.
No.
We're not. We learned that we weren't protected from the weather 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
when that tornado came through. For years I had heard people say, and then I began saying, well, these old hills will protect us. Well, they
mm-mm.
it didn't happen that way. So we have to be ready. Be proactive. I know it's kind of like what psychologists call compassion fatigue. When Columbine happened, we were just aghast. We just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
This would happen. When was that? 99?
I don't remember exactly. I mean, it's been some years ago.
And then this year, yesterday, there have already been
two.
Huh?
Two.
Well,
I know up here recently, here in Kentucky and in Florida.
Well, there's been, you might be surprised to learn, there's been a lot more than that.
That hasn't been the magnitude.
Publicized.
Yeah.
But there have been several, like 18 or 20 school shootings already, and it's just February.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be looking and watching, and you've got to have procedures in place. And we do at Highland. And one of the things we prayed about last night was, God, may it never happen in our community, in our church. But we can't just, God says he wants to work with us.
Yeah.
And that means we have to get on the ball and do what we can do. We have to work and pray like every bit of it depends on God, but then we have to put some procedures in place like it all depends on us. And we'll work together then. We'll do our part, he'll do his part.
It's kind of like eating. In Proverbs, there's many different scriptures about the harvest, you know, collecting the harvest in the summer.
Sure,
you know, we can sit back and pray that the Lord will provide us food.
Yeah.
But we've got to get out and grow it.
Got to do something.
Yeah.
Got to do something. And,
yeah.
I feel like maybe we haven't done the something we should have done this morning with all the... We've got about four questions, two text messages. I'm glad to see folks using the text capability. And another question, but we're... This is kind of an unusual situation here, folks, and we needed to talk about this by virtue of the calls we got. Folks need to talk about it. Remember, an impression without an expression leads to
depression.
Right. God bless you. We'll look at your questions, these that we have, next week.
Thanks a lot, folks, for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Sunday evening life groups are at 6 p.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.